Now are we live?
Yes, now we're live.
And take two. Sorry about that. Like Joe said, it happens. Sometimes yeah. We have bad days. So basically, Mandy, this is for people that, and I want to say this correctly, Chastity?
Yes.
Okay. This is for people who don't know you, who's been watching our shows and stuff, since you are new to our show. What got you started and interested in the paranormal?
Well, when I was younger, I had a lot of things going on when it came to dealing with spirits. And from the time I was probably like, I started noticing different things when I was like 8 or 9, but it seemed like anywhere from, I want to say 12 on up is when that for me started to get really bad. we lost one of our brothers, our older brother, and I was, I think I was like 11 at the time, maybe 10. And that was really devastating to me, but he was the first one that made his presence known to me. And then it just seemed like after that, I started having all kinds of experiences from the time I was 11 all the way up till now. And it just seemed like everywhere I lived, they were always trying to communicate with me. And it used to scare me. I used to be terrified of it. I mean, I used to call my family up, you know, when I was living, you know, in my own place and having all these experiences. And I was terrified. There was times I actually ran out of my house, afraid to go back in my house in the country when I at another location I lived at. I was scared. Interesting.
So at what time, what point in your life did you start understanding that they weren't there to hurt you and that you were able to communicate with them?
Well, probably when I, you know, was like 20 something, I started realizing there was good ones and bad ones. Mm-hmm. So, but it was still scary, even if the good ones, you know, but at the time I wasn't seeing them. I was hearing them and feeling them. So that alone was scary. And they were coming through my electronics and stuff. So that was really freaky.
Now, that also raises a subject, a question I got asked almost everybody.
Hang on, Joe.
No, it's about the electric mix.
Cassidy needs to answer the question I asked too, you know.
that's an easy answer. She just asked me to help her, and I just been helping her.
Chastity, he's asking you if you had basically what got you started.
What got you interested?
You got me doing it. You asked me to help you, and I've been helping you. That's the only reason why I've been doing it.
It's my passion, guys. My sister.
So it's your passion, and you dragged them into it.
Yes.
But did they come kicking and screaming, or did they do it willingly?
I'll say one of them did. The one that's not on the show.
It was all right. It was interesting. So.
Okay. Now, Joe.
Well, I just want to know, because I'm kind of taking like a survey of this. You know, your Google AI devices or Alexa that you have in your home, most people have nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm. Siri.
Those go off all by themselves for no reason at all.
Yeah, my Alexa likes to go off sometimes whenever, to me, it's a spirit because they'll start talking and I won't even say they're, you know, I won't even mention Alexa or anything and it just starts going off, you know. Yeah, I've had some experiences. I've even had, now this is going to sound a little crazy, but this is supernatural to me. I've had names go across my TV back in 98 with the bigger back TVs. I had that happen. I've had my name come through spirit talking through alarm clocks to me.
Oh, wow. Now, just curious on the TV thing. Mm-hmm. Was it in the closed caption device or was it actually just on the TV?
This was on the TV in 1998.
Yeah, if you're talking about the big back TVs, yeah, a lot of those tube TVs really didn't have closed caption either.
Yeah.
That you can enable.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you were the remote where you know, come on, you're old enough to remember those days.
No. I was the remote all the way up until I was 10 years old.
See, told you.
Okay, we had a console TV.
Yep, that's so, when yeah, you didn't have to worry about anybody stealing your TV because it'd take at least two or three people to carry that sucker out of the house.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
So, since you've been doing this, Chastity, I'm asking you this. Since you've been doing this and helping Mandy, what kind of experiences have you had?
As in, like, anything scary?
Scary, unexplained. Have you been hearing people call your name or talking without anything being there?
You mean at home or while we investigate?
Either one.
When we investigate, I hear a bunch of stuff on the thing and the pictures. We've caught a lot of pictures when we investigate of spirits.
So that's about
nothing
it.
Nothing at home. Really? They don't bug me, so I haven't had any. And so I don't know if I'm interrogating or what.
Well, you've had spirits play with your hair.
When we're investigating, yeah, they've played with my hair. I've had stuff happen to me too. Like, well, it's been a while. I would hear footsteps around my bed at night and my bed would move. It would shake in my old house, but that's been years ago. So I haven't really had anything since then. It's been a while.
Okay. Well, just curious, you know, sometimes things do happen outside of investigations. So.
Yeah, except when my dad passed away, I did have a weird happen. The night that he died, I went to bed and then my door opened by itself and I felt like something was covering over me, like real heavy. And like 2 minutes after that, I got a call saying my dad passed away. So I felt like that was him telling me goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Bet that was.
Mm-hmm. That was Mandy, scary.
So Mandy, what about you? What kind of, other than what you already explained, what kind of experiences do you have when you're out investigating?
I have a lot of crazy stuff.
Because just listening to you so far, it sounds like you're the one that's the sensitive of them all.
I'm a medium. So, you know, I'm what you call a natural medium. So when like I said, I've been hearing these spirits since I was young and I didn't know, you know, I was capable of doing mediumship, but now ever since I started Ghost Sisters almost 7 years ago, it all made sense because everything led up to what I do now. I learned not to be so afraid of the spirits, although I still am jumpy when I'm out there. You know, I've had a lot of different things happen when I'm channeling with spirit. You know, sometimes I'll see them if they want me to, or I'll get a clear vision of them in my mind. I will hear them when we're out in the field. They come through our spirit boxes saying my name. I've been grabbed a few times. I've been grabbed. I've felt them mess with my hair. I've had my hoodie pulled. I've actually seen something try to manifest on me one time. And I literally seen this ball. It looked like almost like it was translucent looking, like you could almost see through. It was like weird. It was like almost brownish looking, weird. And it was like hovering next to me. And I was trying to knock this thing off. I actually was spinning around trying to get it off of me. And I watched it shoot underneath this table. And someone else witnessed it too. They were standing outside of the room and they actually seen this thing. And they told me, they said, yeah, Mandy, you had something manifesting on you. So I was glad that somebody's seen what I had already seen. And, you know, just to
verify. Right. And you didn't have any cameras going at the time?
No, this was in a room where we had food for everyone during the investigation. Everybody would go in this room and get snacks. Okay. I was in there getting a piece of cake
So then, now you're gonna have to put cameras up in the room where everybody goes and gets the snacks.
Well, now this room is no longer a room where you get snacks. It is now it is now what you call Covenstead. It's a place for witches now.
Okay. So, what are the places you guys like to go to? Do you like doing home investigations or like different buildings that have activity or like outside in like cemeteries and stuff or
any place that's warm?
Oh, there you go, Joe. She Chastity's like you.
Yep. She does not like to be cold. And let me tell you.
Are you kidding me? I can be out there. I can be standing out there in 20 degree weather or 20 below weather.
Me and cold don't get along.
Mark, I'm like you. I don't care. I'll be out there investigating.
I got enough padding.
I wear enough padding when I'm out there if it's cold. I like to go to prisons and jails because working in law enforcement, I love going to those locations. And actually, our first investigation, before we even started the team, Chastity and I ended up going to the Mansfield prison. And I was working in law enforcement at the time. And of course, I didn't have no equipment or anything, you know, and so I had to order a couple things. I ordered a geophone, and then I ordered the SB7 and just had a flashlight, and that was it. And oh, a GoPro. I wore my sergeant's GoPro. He let me use it, and we actually captured some amazing evidence, which landed us on Ghost Brothers. So that was really cool. The evidence we captured, that was really cool. And we weren't paranormal investigators at the time. We were just going to see what it was all about, you know? And we captured amazing stuff.
That is cool. Especially when you go in and you're not expecting anything like that. And then you can catch different
stuff. We captured it with the lights on. So it was really, really cool.
No, I'm wondering though, just you know, talking with your thing, I'm kind of wondering if you are a strong enough medium that they're drawn to you no matter what.
I think so. Because when I'm out there, and my sisters are sensitive too, you know. Actually, my one sister who's not on the show tonight, she's a skeptic, but now my skeptic is now becoming a believer because she started to become clairvoyant and she's starting to hear them and she has seen them. So now it's like she's confused, like, wait a minute, you know. So, and Chastity's sensitive too, but they don't connect like I do. We're all just different when we're out there.
No, yeah, yeah. You everybody has a different way of connecting with the energies that are around them.
I've been told from other mediums that I'm also like Mandy, but I'm like, nah, I don't believe it.
Well, I will say this. It does run in families. It's been proven to run in families. My mother was very sensitive to all energies around her. And she used to tell me stories of seeing her passed away sister walking up the driveway coming home from school.
Oh, wow.
And stuff, you know, stuff like that. And then I also found out that I have the ability to see auras. I have the ability to see apparitions, hear them and stuff without any equipment. And I'm the first male in my family on my mom's side to ever have that ability. Awesome. And normally it jumps a generation. It didn't this time.
It did not do that with our family. My daughter, she sees the spirits a lot. She's been seeing them since she was young. I mean, she doesn't want no part of it. I mean, this child, she's older now, and she doesn't want anything to do with it. But she sees them all the time. And I actually have taken her on investigations. And it, the two of us out there was just, it was insane, you know. definitely
trying to something when you're trying to ignore it, it gets worse.
That's what I told her. She was ignoring and it got worse.
Yeah, and that is because the spirits understand that you're able to see them, and they want your attention because they want to talk to you. They want you to be able to relay out what they're saying.
Yes.
And when you do wind up ignoring, it will wind up getting worse at times.
Yeah. I don't need any more voices talking to me.
You've got enough voices in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're still waiting for the straitjacket, so
it hasn't arrived yet.
And Mark and Joe, we also like to go to asylums and, you know, just about anywhere, you know, we'll go anywhere. And we also do a lot of residential cases, but we try to keep the residential cases in close to where we're in Ohio here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to travel no more than an hour and a half to do a residential case.
Yeah, we don't travel too far either for those.
No, we've done a couple ourselves.
But what, the most was the last one where it was about an hour from where I was or an hour from you?
No. The furthest that we went was Grafton. Grafton's a little farther away from
me. Was Grafton further away? I didn't think it was.
Grafton's about an hour and a half from where I was. So.
But yeah, see, we don't go very far. We stay within Wisconsin.
Yeah, and normally when we do home investigations, we try to keep them, you know, keep them out of our videos and stuff, unless the people ask us or let us.
Well, we don't publish anything.
Right. But we'll do stuff like going out to different locations and stuff. And we've done cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And we caught some evidence in cemeteries before.
We've spent the night at a cemetery too. We've done some.
Did that when I was a kid.
I'm so jaded that I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything.
And I didn't even know that one when I was a kid, because my family owned like a triangle of four houses that were right across the street from this major cemetery. And it's considered one of the most haunted cemeteries in Wisconsin. But when I was a kid, I went over there one night and I can't remember what the reason was. It's because I didn't want to do something. So I went and hid and I sat down, leaned up against a tombstone, and the next thing you know, I fell asleep. Here it is almost 2-3 hours later, and my dad's out there shouting for me. You know, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, just to answer David here real quick. Yeah, I do. The auras around people have different colors. And you can tell a person's mood by their aura.
Hey, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's kind of I gotta kind of put myself in the right mindset to be able to do it. But it is very interesting to see the energies coming off of people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Have you ever experienced anything like that, Mandy?
Oh yeah, I've seen auras around people. I've seen orbs. I've seen apparitions, shadow figures, and again, it just depends. If they want me to see it, I'll see it. It is interesting. You will see some people, depending where they're at, you can see it more. If they have a wider background, a wall, you'll be able to see it better. So
yeah. I tend to be able to see the auras whenever there's more of a white or a light colored background.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with you on that. So what kind of equipment do you guys like to use?
Well, we have a lot of really cool equipment. I love using the spirit boxes that we have. The ink box made by Katie Stafford, the intercom box made by Jay Prather. I also have another device that not a lot of people have. Maybe four people have this device, and it is the brainwave. So that's a different, unique one we like to use sometimes in the field. I have the new, it's the brainwave. And I have the new XSLS camera, which is the 3D. It shows everything in 3D, and I really love it.
Oh, that is cool. He's been playing with. He'll take those pictures, and then you got the 3D, three dimensionals.
I have the older SLX camera and the new one. We love using the cat balls because there's no sensors on there. You know, you have to literally go over and either stomp vibration near the ball or touch the ball. The REM pods, we use the REM pod. But those are usually our favorites that we like to use. And the recorder. I love a good recorder because I love to get a really good EVP, you know. You can get that classic EVP. I love that.
Yeah, the EVPs are nice. We've captured a few ourselves, and we got one that I got one on my recorder, and didn't show up on any of the other audio from any of the other equipment we had. We were at the crash site, the Buddy Holly crash site in Iowa. Midday, out there doing an investigation. One of the crew that we went with, he's out there, the leader of that. He was out there with his this little Chromebook and had his app up for what do you call that, Joe? It's kind of like phasma box. So you know, it does a scan of using the Wi-Fi and radio frequencies through the computer, and it'll put sound into a speaker that you got hooked to it. So he's using that, and they were using different devices. Just I had a voice recorder, and I was standing away from the guys, and none of us heard it until after I got back and started going through audio a little bit later in the week on that one. But I've caught what sounded like a Cessna, same kind of airplane that they crashed in. Sound like a Cessna flying overhead.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't show up in any of the other recordings. Joe was taking video. It didn't show up in the sound on that. Nothing came through on the phasma box, sounding like an airplane or anything like that. And the other recording devices we had never picked it up.
You must have a really sensitive recorder.
I'm thinking that it was directed at me, just for my unit to pick up. Huh. And we've had stuff like that happen before, where, you know, we get on only one piece of equipment. So, have you ever had anything like that?
That's the same day you had everything fail on you too.
That's the same day where, after we got done there, we went to Farrar School, which is in Maxwell, Iowa, and nighttime investigation there. I had five pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me. And the reason is because I provoked. I know I probably shouldn't have, but I did. I had the same voice recorder that recorded that airplane noise or sound failed on me when I got to the school. My video camera failed on me. My body camera failed on me. My laptop, I
locked him out.
It locked me out. I couldn't get into my laptop no matter what I tried. And I know I typed the password incorrectly.
So you made him mad.
Definitely. I made it mad. Whatever was you in sure that did. School, I ticked it off. Very much so. And I did this with nobody else around me. And I made sure that nobody else was around me because I didn't want its anger, energy
towards someone
pointed
else.
At anyone else.
Yeah.
I wanted it on me. And I did it kind of so that way it would... This was my reasoning behind it. So that way that maybe we would start getting some good activity right away. And not just for me, but you know, for the group. But that way it would target me, and because it'd be mad at me for provoking it.
Hmm. Well, they seem to love us when we're out there. We're just us, you know. We are funny. We like to laugh, but we take it serious. But there's times my sister will say something off the wall, you know, and but the spirits love the energy that we bring. You know, they feed off of that energy when we're all together.
Positive energy a lot of times gets a lot of activity for you as well.
Yeah. And so. I love talking to the spirits, and they know it too. My sisters do too. So it's not just me. They just don't know what to say. They run out of things to say to the spirits. Like, I don't know what to say. You know, just talk to them. They were people once too. Just talk.
You know, a lot of times the spirits want to communicate well enough or strong enough that you can ask them to move an object, they'll move it for you.
You can just
ask them questions and say, hey, can you answer this for me? And, you know, they'll give you an answer.
Yeah.
So, you okay there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm fine.
It's 420 times, huh?
Always. I do for medical purposes. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm disabled due to AML, which is a form of leukemia. It's mostly found in children. So I was diagnosed December 4th, 1995. Told I wasn't going to live to see Christmas that year. And that's because it was so far gone that I actually died. That's where I had an out-of-body experience. And, you know, I fought to stay alive, but I had to go through an experimental treatment first before they could do the regular chemo and radiation and then eventually a bone marrow transplant. Wow. So I lived in a hospital for about 2.5-3 years.
Oh, wow.
With maybe a month break here and there.
Wow. Yep. Well, I'm glad you made it. Oh, I ain't nothing wrong with weed. My husband smokes it like a freight train. I don't, but.
Look, there's not a damn thing wrong with it. And I wish they'd.
Yeah.
I wish they'd get their heads out of their proverbial.
It's finally legal now. So.
Not here.
They need to remove it from the Schedule 1 is what they need to do. Because there's nothing narcotic about it.
No.
So
I take those pain pills, you know, and all these pills that they would have normally had me on after surviving what I survived and for the neuropathy that I suffer in my legs, they would have me in bed. Those side effects, all of them on all those pills may cause drowsiness. So you take all these pills at the same time. You're going to spend about 90% of your day in bed.
Well, they now have it to where if you eat certain foods, it can heal you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can look that up.
I know. I'm witness to what those pills do to you.
Yeah, you watch that on Netflix. It's called You Are What You Eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Well, you won't want to eat meat again after watching that.
I'm a very picky eater, so.
You won't want to touch meat after watching that show.
Are you talking about pork?
Chicken.
Pork meat.
The meat, period. Chicken.
So you gave up meat completely? Is that what you're saying then?
No, she hasn't.
But it has been a...
No.
No. Nope. See, I can't do that.
Beef tastes too damn good.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't eat much hamburger anymore, though.
No, I don't. I still get it from the store, but if I had the choice, if I had a good choice, I'd get it.
You'll never buy meat from Walmart again. That's for sure. Oh. <Just saying. laughs>
Don't even go there.
Anyway. Ugh. Next subject. We don't want to gross anybody out and get banned for talking about something that they could flag us for.
True. So what do you guys got planned for upcoming stuff?
Well, tomorrow night I will be investigating a old asylum in our hometown that is getting ready to be tore down. I think they're going to probably start tearing it down in March or April. We've investigated it once on Halloween night last year, and we were the first team to ever get in there. And it was an asylum, and then it became, in the 80s, it became apartments. So, and the people that actually lived in the asylum and the apartments there, they had a lot of stories to say, things that happened to them when they were living there at the time.
And so, yeah.
There'll be two of us investigating tomorrow night, and it'll just be me with another friend. And this place is like, I think, 55,000 square feet. It's huge. Wow. Going to be alone.
That's a lot of square footage.
Yes, it's huge.
That is a lot of square footage. So when was the place built, though?
I think it was like late 1800s. And the doctor that built the location, he had his house moved over behind the asylum. And the way he had the house moved, you can tell it was moved. It's not because nobody's going to build a house looking right at an asylum, and it's by an alley. Instead of being towards like the alleyway, it's weird. It's like facing the other way towards the asylum, and it's all being tore down. So,
Pam says 1890s that she thinks.
That might be about right, something like that.
So, well over 100 years.
It's old, and it's actually holding up pretty good.
So. Interesting. Kind of sound or reminds me of what I've heard about Kellogg.
Mm-hmm. And we actually captured an image the first time we went there. My friend Pam went with us, and she was taking pictures in the hallway and actually captured a man peeking his head out of the doorway. Oh, cool. And to try to debunk it, I went back the next day, and me and the owner, and it's funny because the owner is the skeptic, you know, and he's seen that picture, and he goes, "Oh, that's a man with a hat on." You know, sticking his head out the doorway. And so we went back there, and he helped me find the hallway because the place is so big, and they all look the same, the hallways, most of them.
Right.
And we compared it to the exact photo, and we went, I had him go down there, and there was nothing in the doorway. There was nothing there that could have said it was something other than something paranormal. You know what I mean? Than spirit. Cause you could clearly see the guy in like a top hat, and you can see his vest, and he's just like sticking his head out.
Victorian garb.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
So we
couldn't
debunk it.
Interesting. So we got a viewer question for Chastity. Have you ever had a funny response from a spirit?
I know I have, but I'm trying to remember. I know I've had a few, ain't I, Mandy? Can you think of anything, Mandy? I know we've had some, but I can't think offhand.
Well, spirit grabbing butts. The spirits, Chastity, I think she's been grabbed. I've been grabbed, and but you probably don't remember, Chastity. It was in West Virginia. I think we were at that Sneed house. You probably don't remember. It's been so long ago, but I remember it. And when we were at the bed and breakfast here in Ohio, do you remember that? We were at the bar, and spirit Spirit grabbed me, and I said, something just grabbed my butt. And Spirit came through the ink box, and it said butt, and it started laughing. It was laughing through the ink box. So it was, yeah, we've had weird, crazy, funny things that come through. Spirit's laughing through the box. That's funny to me, you know.
How about this one? They all go to old fallen down churches in the woods in the middle of nowhere and cool stuff like that.
Well, I've done abandoned buildings. Yeah. My sister's not really, but me. Yeah.
She did try to do one down the road from me, and the lady got mad and she about got in trouble for it.
I did. That's the truth. So,
when you do that, Mandy, is that because you're drawn to them?
Do you ever call
yourself drawn to places?
Yeah, all the time. Like, I'll just, if I see something, I'm like, man, I got to go there. I want to go there. Or if I just see it across the TV, you know, I'm like, I got to get there. Or, yeah, I'm drawn to a lot of these places. And I like to go back to the same places, too, because, you know, you can never go once or twice and, you know, get as much as you could actually get if you went back over and over, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we've learned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten some information on places before. There's a cemetery that I think we'll probably wind up going back to again. It's out near where he lives, actually.
In the middle of nowhere.
And first time Joe and I went out there, it's just me and him. We're out there just to check it out. He had just gotten his camera, so he was trying it out. And for some reason, we had a airplane fly over it, and it was a jet airplane. And there's no airports that would accommodate a jet airplane in that area.
This was also like
it was really low, and it was foggy out at the time it happened.
And it was like midnight.
Yeah, it was
late at night when we were out there.
And that was just really bizarre that would happen. And then, so we went back out there again. This time the women went with us, and I had gotten a camera at that time. So we had two different cameras going. And I think the cemetery is probably about, I'd say it's probably about 100 yards long. And then, probably half that deep, you know. It's not a big cemetery, but it is kind of an older cemetery. And there was just like folklore stories about it. It's one of the reasons we were out there. Well,
where are you guys from?
Wisconsin. Oh, we're in Wisconsin.
He's from California. He's a transplant.
I'm born and raised Cali guy, and I moved out here in 93.
So you're in where? Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
Both of
yep.
you?
Yep. Born and raised in Wisconsin.
Yeah. We go all over the place when we go to these investigations. We travel far. I actually have traveled by myself to Wisconsin to investigate with the team in Wisconsin. And, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Wisconsin?
I do not remember. I met them, and they were following us, and they were seemed pretty cool, and they wanted us ladies to come to Wisconsin. They had some buildings for us to check out and a school, and it turned out my sisters couldn't join me, so I jumped in my car and drove clear to Wisconsin, spent the weekend in a haunted church. That was a bed and breakfast, and yeah, so that was really creepy itself.
Did you get anything good there?
Well, there's, yeah, actually we did. Yes. At the school, definitely at the school. At the school, there was said to have, they have beams across the top, and mm-hmm. you would see handprints up there, little children's handprints and footprints. And they couldn't explain why this kept appearing. Oh. So it was pretty cool. And I had my my older SLS camera at the time. And when we aimed it to towards there, you could actually see what looked like children were up there, little stick figures of the children. To me, it was the children.
It was
an active school, and I do not remember what it was called.
Pam's asking you if that house in Ohio has been torn down yet.
House in Ohio.
She said, has the house in Ohio we went to been torn down yet?
She's probably talking about the asylum, I'm assuming. Not yet. If it's the asylum you're talking about, not yet.
So, where you can't remember the area up here, that church, the bed and breakfast.
It's an older church, really nice place, and it was a bed and breakfast. Now
I could describe a thousand places up here.
it definitely could. That's why I'm kind of wondering, because you know
I do know the building that we did investigate, because there was two places, a school and a building. And the building had to do with, I'm trying to think of those guys. It was like a men's club thing back in the day.
Oh, Masons.
Masons, yeah. So this was tied to the Masons, and it was a huge building. I know there's a lot of them, but
that doesn't narrow it down.
No, it doesn't, but that's...
We investigated a bar here in the town I live in, and it's like, what was it? It had three floors to it. The bar was on the main floor, and the other two were kind of cut off from everybody right now.
They were remodeling. They're sinking some money into it. They were going to remodel the second floor, turn it into a restaurant.
Right.
And then they were going to start working on the
place.
What's that?
I want to say there, and we investigated. Yeah, it had a restaurant connected to it. Yeah.
But one of those floors, you could clearly see that it was like a Mason Lodge was there at one time.
Yeah, it was the third floor. They had it. When the place was built, it was built back in the 1700s,
late 1700s.
So it had three floors to it. It had the upper floor had an actual ballroom in it. And during World War One or World War Two, they had activities up there that they were doing with like soldiers coming back, and then so there's a lot of energy and history for the building. Mm-hmm. The bar on the first floor, they have it all renovated, opened, and all that. Second floor, they were in the process of renovating. Third floor, they haven't really done much to it. On the second floor, Joe was recording, and he was listening to his recordings, and there's a sound in there that it sounds like knocking.
It sounded, yeah, but after
a while. I started listening to it myself. It kind of sounded like Morse code.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if you ever, did you ever have anybody check it out?
No, I haven't. I talked to Dale about that, and he's like, I don't know, I'm a little rusty. All I can remember is SOS, so that ain't going to help you.
So, it does, it sounds pretty interesting. I mean, it's the only sound that he wound up getting.
Yeah, and you and Tanya were on the third floor.
Yeah, I was on the third floor. Tanya was up there in the ballroom already, and she's snapping pictures. And
nobody else was around except the couple that owned the place. And
they were downstairs.
They were downstairs in the bar getting ready to open because the place was so closed yet. So there was nobody else in there that could have been doing the knocking. Because it was actually sounded like it was knocking on the furnace, the metal.
And the cool thing is the guy's got pictures of the building from the Historical Society, where it's pictures of horse and carriages all lined up in front of it. And it's got the dirt roads still. And I got a picture of one of the picture. And it's kind of strange because there's two dogs in the front of the picture. But you can see the curb line through the dogs.
Huh. That's so interesting. You know, we've actually captured some really cool pictures too, but we use a different technique to capture images. So we use water and a light. And there's an app that we have that has infrared on it. And it even has a built-in Ovilus 5. But in order to use the app, you got to use it. It requires either fog or you can use water with it. You just can't use it to try to get image by itself. So okay. We have actually captured some amazing evidence using water with light. And I mean, spirit, you can see full body.
Interesting.
Full body collars, what their shirts were, their hair, beards, the whole nine yards. It's insane.
That's kind of cool.
Because water is a kinetic energy source for spirit. And
yes, it is.
We use it a lot.
And believe it or not, dry river beds, there's still energy flow through there too. Mm-hmm. Because water, like you said, kinetic energy for spirits to use. And the water that's run through on these dry rivers has left its energy imprint there, and you still get energy from the riverbeds as well. I know that from whenever I was younger. I've been involved in the occult and studying Wicca and stuff since I was like 13. So, and I'm an old fart. So,
yeah, what can I say? You're right there. That's the first thing you said.
Hey,
right.
Hey. Yeah, I'm an old fart, but I'm younger than you.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You want me to prove it?
No.
Come on, break out the license. Oh, that's right. You don't have a license.
I got my eyes fixed just so I can go out driving.
You'll let him be mean to you like that, Joe?
I'll get him later. You know, I've known this guy.
Oh, we're always picking it.
Well, you good. Should see me and Mandy.
25 plus years.
Me and Mandy battle it all the time. He's
still mad at me for the joke I got him blamed for. I pulled a practical joke on my brother at my brother's work. I pulled a practical joke on him, and he went around the office and he blamed Mark. And he kept blaming Mark until he saw me walk in there and realized that I started working there that day and that it was me that did it. But I put a kind of a funny parking ticket on his car. And at the end of it, you know, it goes through this whole big description, but at the end of it, it says, if you fuck like you park, it's a wonder you can get it in.
Joseph.
Are you guys related?
You're in the friends, you're or? In the presence of ladies, and you're talking like that.
Hey, that's a good joke.
No, we've been, Chastity, we've been good friends for well over 20 some odd years, and it's just.
And then eventually, we found out I was related to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
While he was still married to her, though, she didn't like that.
Yeah. Small world, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we've been good friends for well too long.
Well, so. That's where we met.
Well, I started out being a friend, being his brother's friend, and him and his brother, or me and his brother, used to hang out all the time. And then there was this falling out, which happens. So. Mm-hmm. But, nothing you can do about it. Anyway.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yes, it does. Everything does happen for a reason.
Yeah, so we've been good friends ever since.
So something good came out of an ex.
I don't know. I still kind of wonder about that. Nah. I've got his back regardless.
Yeah, they went after COVID struck. between him and his wife, I couldn't get out and investigate anywhere. They wouldn't let me
out of the house. And your wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. But they wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me leave the house for any reason.
No, he's you know, surviving leukemia. He's got that you know, ability to catch things a lot easier than everybody else. So no, he ain't gonna leave.
But I keep telling you, nothing is gonna. You know, I smoke too much pot for one thing, and the other thing is I'm a vampire. I'm gonna live forever, so I'm not worried about dying.
You can't be a vampire.
I've already died. They can't kill me again.
You can't be a vampire because vampires don't have Mountain Dew as their blood.
So I'm special.
Knock it off. We're here talking to the ladies.
You're special.
Oh, anyway. So anything else you guys have going on or?
Also Monday we'll be investigating the Villa Bar and Grill. It's an old location. It has a hotel connected to it. And yeah, we'll be going live. We go live during all of our investigations. And in April, I just filmed a documentary with Sean Austin and Shane Pittman at a very haunted location that has a lot of witches and stuff like that there. That'll be coming out in April. So that was with ScareTV.network. So when that comes out, I'll be sharing it and you guys can go over there and check that out. It'll be awesome. Awesome location. Very, very, very awesome.
So it's hush hush until that documentary comes out?
Well, I can. Location? Oh, no. I can tell you about the location. We've been to the location for a long time. It's the Ewer Shrine in Bristol, Tennessee.
I'll have to look that up and see where it's at.
We are ambassadors of the shrine.
Oh, that's cool.
That is very cool.
I was just looking up Ohio because we like to take road trips. And, boy, there's some interesting places there.
Oh, yeah. Ohio is loaded. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, all the Midwest has a lot of rich history, a lot of Native American history as well.
Yeah.
Here in Wisconsin, we have Aztlan, which is, and it's, they have burial mounds there. But what they found is a lot of the Indians that were there in that particular settlement were more connected to the Aztecs society than they were the Native Americans up here.
Mm-hmm.
The area also where it's at, there's what is that, Rock Lake, Joe?
Yep.
Yeah, Rock Lake. There are actual pyramids in the bottom of the lake.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and there has been documentaries done about those too.
I know.
So it's kind of interesting. We do have rich histories up here. So,
well, if you get a chance, you got to go check out the Mansfield Prison. It's a good one. Us girls.
Isn't that where Charles Manson was at one time?
No.
No.
No. I thought when he was.
No. No.
Yeah. There was a movie, Shawshank, was filmed there.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's Shawshank. A really good movie, too.
That's where we captured that image.
That's what it was. That's why that sounded familiar.
Yeah.
Because I looked it up just because of that movie.
Us ladies are going back to this location February 21st. Also, cool. Be there. We got a lot of investigations for the month of February. A lot of traveling coming up. So we'll be traveling with Paranormal Reality TV. So we'll be doing a lot of, there'll just be a lot going on. We get busy. Always, always busy.
Nothing wrong with being busy.
Yeah.
You know, idle hands are the ones that cause trouble. You gotta keep yourself busy. Keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know. Chastity looks like she's a little bored sitting out there. She hasn't really put much in, and she's just kind of sitting there relaxing.
She has a hard time staying in one place.
She does?
ADHD kicks in.
Yes.
Well, I don't have ADHD, but I do have OCD.
Yeah.
When we're investigating.
Old cranky disorder.
When we're investigating, we won't even be in a room for 10 minutes. And if nothing's happening that's to her pleasing, she's like, all right, nothing's happening. Let's go. Let's go. And it's like, we just got in here. You got to wait.
And I'm always yawning, even when I'm not tired.
Half the time is sitting there collecting nothing for a while. I mean, you may not get anything your first time out at a location.
Yeah, you might just get a REM pod or cat balls going off, or you just never know, you know.
Or you'll show up at a location and you're starting to set up and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for it to get warmer, so we won't go back out and investigate until towards the end of March.
Mandy don't care if it's 0 degrees. She'll investigate.
I don't either.
All
night long. No. I lost my tolerance for winter because I missed like 3 of them in a row by being in the hospital. So no, thank you. I'm too old.
You can't enjoy it when you're cold. You're so busy worried about freezing, you can't even function enough to even.
That's
know
right. Exactly.
It was like exactly 29.
My point. There you go. That's
and
my
they drain all your equipment because it's so cold.
There you go.
It was like 29 degrees this morning, and I'm running around outside without my jacket on.
Yeah, but you got built-in insulation.
I see idiots going to Walmart and these stores in skimpy shorts during 0 degrees outside.
Yeah, we got a lot of those idiots here, too.
It happens here in Wisconsin.
What in the world is wrong with people?
That happens here in Wisconsin.
Oh my God!
My stepdaughter, I've seen her go outside without a coat on in this winter, in this weather, and it's like.
I'll go to my car and to the store without a coat, but that's about it.
No.
Well, Joe, I notice it's like 6 o'clock now, so.
It's 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. So because of the mishap in the beginning, we're not going to get our full hour, but it's been very nice talking with you, ladies.
I'll have to have you back.
Definitely have you back if you want to come back.
We come back.
Next week we'll be on with LEP Productions. The 3 J's will be here, as it's famously called. They're a bunch of funny guys, so who knows what'll happen that night. Until then, stay safe and remember, anything's possible.
All right. Thanks for having us.